All right, so just before we start the show, I got a memo from upstairs. The tower manager said that he's a little worried about our health. He thinks you guys have been, I believe he said, slobby.
Yeah,
I can go. I'm good with that.
So he's basically required us to go on to diet food.
Whoa, no. No.
Yeah, sorry, guys.
Oh, God.
Oh,
man.
So yeah, they put us on a diet.
Sorry, guys.
Let's ration this. I'll take this.
Rob's son of a bitch, give me that back.
Listener warning. Everything about this podcast is offensive and often stupid.
Live from the fashionable north side of Racine, Wisconsin, it's the best damn podcast on the air, if you just basically discount all the other ones. It's Guys, Games, and Beer!
Yay! Yay!
It has been a rough day already.
Why, yes, it has.
Hurting in my eyes and nose tells me to.
That it's just getting started?
Yeah, I just did a line of baby powder.
I didn't know they aerosolized.
I've been hacking that up all night.
Just be glad this is
not a smell cast.
All right, so hey, let's start with the show beer tonight, guys.
No. It's time for beer court.
Bum, ba,
dum, bum. That was a good handout.
That really was a nice handout.
Bum, bum.
Today, the Capital Brewery Company versus the
State
of Wisconsin. It's an IPA.
It's not only an IPA, it's a mutiny IPA!
Mutiny!
They've been watching the show!
It's a twist top, isn't it?
Yes, it is!
Son of a bitch.
Classic American.
But it's...
Alright, anybody have anything on the cover? What do you think of it? Do we have anything on the cover to read?
It says they make beer for 25 years.
We have beer here. This is where we have the beer.
Wide variety of delicious beers.
Government
It looks like anal from here. I only see anal.
I don't know what you get.
Anal brewery.
No, it says annual beer, but the second N and the U is covered, so it looks like anal beer to me.
Finally, an anal beer.
So this is a suppository, eh?
Yeah.
Whoa. Everyone to the G2B bathrooms.
Justin's already occupied
It's empty.
Hey, way to make a big thunk, Tom.
I know the difference.
For more than 25 years, Capital Brewery has represented Wisconsin's rich brewing heritage. I almost said fertilization.
You didn't believe my summation?
No, not really. Capital produces a wide range of proud, loud, something personalities. Jeez, I can't read any of this.
Cult of personality.
All whom are dedicated.
I told you, anal beer.
To enhancing the enjoyment of ale.
Here you go, Rob. Here you go. Here's your glass. There's your readers.
Thank you.
Please allow up thank to 48 you. Hours to set.
Please allow our products to welcome your palate to a world of balance, harmony, and eminent drinkability. Wow, that is...
No, that ending sounds like a conflict to a mutiny.
Government warning. One, according to the Surgeon General, women should...
we've done that one.
We've read that
one. No, it's only good when it's spaced like this, when it just ends the line.
Oh, for the love of God, can I just drink this?
Yes, please. I want to drink this.
Well, we've already been drinking it.
This is beer court, which means I drink.
You drink this, you might end up punching a cop.
Especially Madison.
I'd like you to write that up, please, as your dissenting viewpoint.
Dissent.
Let's go punch some cops.
I have so much follow-up that I won't say on the air for that. So much.
Probably a little sensitive right now, I suppose, out there. Probably a little sensitive.
Rightfully so.
It's okay.
Yeah, I mean...
tails, but it's
not a joke.
Anymore. I missed your joke.
All right.
I was still fixated on the anal beer thing.
You're really fixated on anal a little bit too much, bro. Really fake. A little too Sigmund.
Nice.
Not enough.
Freud? Not enough Jung, maybe? Maybe it needs a little.
I mean, yeah, it's a fine IPA.
Little Carl.
Which is to say,
I could get
it is a beer.
I could get it mixed up with a lot of other IPAs.
Yeah, I agree. It's there's
but nothing, I can drink it.
It's a very it's a very drinkable beer.
Well,
Ryan,
that's it. Well, some IPAs are a little too much for me. So
the hot
this one like tap. Yeah, it's like yeah. You know, someone like if I have any food, if I drink an IPA, they just don't go together.
Yeah, that's why you just basically drink your IPA all day and throw up at the end.
Well, it's not trying to kill me with hops.
No, exactly. Yeah. It's not, right, they're not killing you with the hops.
You know, you run a thin line, I think, when you make an IPA.
Well, there's just so many of them nowadays.
Yeah, but I mean, you can get nasty real quick, and I think a lot of IPAs cross that nasty-ass taste like a sock. And yet, this doesn't cross that
and
line.
Yet people still love them, and it's just like, no, you don't have to. Everyone doesn't need to make an IPA.
That's
certainly everyone. So you're basically saying that IPA is kind of like hot sauce. Eventually, there's just a point where people are just like crying and drinking it.
Yeah.
Just because they're like,
oh, I love this it. Ghost pepper sauce. It's so good.
That being said, ghost pepper beer, not so good. Who the hell thought the idea of putting ghost peppers in beer is a good idea? Really? Really?
I don't know. Maybe I thought it was sorry. The same guy who made IPAs.
Must have been.
Not in the 1600s.
Would you like to mention the history of Indian Pale Ale, or do you think you have done that to
death? I think I have done that to death.
I think we've done the history of IPAs.
Look on any IPA episode, I think.
And we will talk about why IPAs exist.
It's the horny of Africa that made
it. Or just, like, Google it, and, like, the first 30 results will be like, this is why we love IPAs! The history's so rich! Or some shit like that.
It was
no, it was just very
technology.
Practical.
Yeah.
You got it completely wrong.
Yeah.
I think it was simply practical.
I think that's the point I'm trying
Wouldn't
to make.
Wouldn't it be more practical just to brew the beer there?
No, you remember that yeast only brews at certain temperatures. So to brew a colder beer, you can't brew it in a warmer temperature.
Back in the day, okay. Before they had refrigeration. Right,
yeah. Oh, no, why? No.
That's why you get it.
All right, time for this.
All right,
we're not going to get into brewing.
But just
let's finish
to that quick
like the
point,
boulder in
that's why you have seasonal beers, because they're beers that are brewed at different temperatures.
Right.
All right, let's put this to a vote.
Let's put this to a
vote. You know, I'm going to give it a thumbs up. It's a fine beer.
That's good enough for me.
Okay, we do have. Oh,
that's right, Larry.
Larry, I'm out this week.
No. Larry, how did you put this? You had to. Larry had to recuse himself this week.
I'm recusing myself this week.
All right. So, a mixed bag on this one. 3 up, 2 medium, 1 down.
That gives it a vote up. It survived.
It survived. It's a perfectly drinkable IPA. I mean, you know what?
I really feel like those are mutually exclusive.
I would not go out of my way to get it.
You gotta start separating.
What if somebody put it in front of me? I'm drinking it.
Or just something you don't like. You can have good execution and you not like it.
It's right. Weird. It's almost as if we had this same conversation about pumpkin beers last week.
Yes, we did.
Except we all agreed that pumpkin beers are ass.
No, we didn't.
No, not weird. Pumpkin beers. Pumpkin
spice beers.
Sorry.
Pumpkin spice needs to die.
Yeah.
Also
pumpkins
disagree.
Are good.
Yeah, in a beer, it's just not. You know, something in a pie, pumpkin spice is amazing.
I mean,
in a beer, I don't want to taste a beer that tastes like a pumpkin pie. I want a beer that tastes like a beer.
Why are you drinking an IPA?
It tastes like
it tastes like it tastes like hops though.
It tastes like one of the key ingredients.
If we're going with the German purity law, we're still good with this.
Let's. Not get too deep into the
journey. That's weird, dude.
It might be.
Right, okay. All right,
41,
so
man.
Let's put the verdict on this so we can get to the show.
So on the count of being impure, I find you innocent. On the count of being kind of boring, guilty. But hell, I'll drink it.
Yep. Can't say no to a free beer.
Mutiny IPA, right.
Yep.
Okay, so Rob, the real topic tonight.
The real topic is death. We're going to talk a little bit about death. We're going to talk about systems. Systems that are long dead. They could have died of natural causes. It's just, you know, they were aged out. They could have died due to the company going out of business. Could be whatever death. But we're going to talk about the games that came up after they died. So the games.
Right.
Of the afterlife. Zombie games. Anyway, Tom has an unboxing today.
Right, so let's talk about this. This is really kind of what started this whole topic is a bunch of us in the group bought a new game for a very old system. For those of you who have not seen our show before, the Vectrex is one of our favorites as far as classic retro systems go. So there's three of us on the show who own Vectrex, and then a few of our friends who own Vectrexes as well, but we have a lot of them in the group. And so, a new set of games just came out of,
UK,
thank you.
Where they smash boxes.
So we're going to do a little unboxing for you. Now, I did actually cut the box open to make sure the contents weren't destroyed, but I have not unwrapped the contents inside yet. Three of us ordered this, and the boxes arrived like this or worse. Look, I mean,
you ordered something from the UK, and they were sending it to the United States. Yeah, they're gonna smash the boxes.
No, they're not supposed to look like this. I mean, they really
hate goddamn colonials.
So fortunately, smash. Larry and I were very lucky, and the materials arrived uncrushed inside. My brother Jimmy, not so lucky. His were kind of flattened on the inside as well. So, we'll go ahead and unbox this. As you can see, the box took a lot of damage.
The
provider
took care of it.
Yeah, I will say again, they really were really good about sending him replacements immediately. They've already got those out and going.
Smashing.
The inside wrapping, again, that was also maybe part of the problem. Could have probably had a little bit more on the inside than just one layer of bubble wrap. I'm going to put that out there. So,
doesn't even fill the whole box.
This is a new game for this is two new games for the Vectrex on one cartridge. This is Nox, which is a race game, and then they also on the back here have Death Chase, which is a remake of probably one of the earliest controversial games ever, Death Race at the arcade, which literally was one of the first games to get pulled from arcades because you'd run over little people and gravestones would pop up.
It was awesome.
And people freaked the fuck out when it happened.
Agreed.
It was awesome, too. I gotta say, the packaging, really nice job on the packaging. I mean, professional
looks like a Vectrex game.
Yeah.
Very nice.
Very much so. They did a double siding on it. The one game on the one side, other game on the other side.
Oh, God. It's like those double enders. Remember?
Yeah. Oh, God. For the 2600. Yes. Where the box would be double sided.
Kills me.
Inside packaging looks really nice. Thick foam holding the cartridge in place. Now, here's the beauty of this. This thing comes with overlays. And anybody who knows the Vectrex market knows it's all about the overlays. So this guy has custom designed a few overlays for it. So here's the one for Nox. Let me peel the protective cover off of it.
Is there only protective cover on
there
one side?
Yeah.
I think it's only printed really on one side.
Yeah, it would be. Maybe I'll peel the protective cover off.
I found mine really tough to get off.
Why, thank you. That's good to know, because dang, this is a...
You're going
to
be in it for the long haul.
Yeah, you might be in this for the long haul. Let me see if I can get this started.
You really got to jerk around on that, dude.
All right, let's see.
Apparently all of us bite our nails.
Ooh, nice.
That's true.
Except Tom. Look, he went quick for the meat.
That is a beautiful piece of artwork. So
that is a nice looking...
Thick plastic. Feels like the original style as far as that goes.
We've talked about whether or not that's good or bad. We've had reproductions that had a different kind of plastic that was a little more flexible that probably wouldn't crack.
So, Vectrex is a vector graphics game, and you really need to have some kind of overlay to make the game look good.
The screen's only black and white.
Right. It's only black and white because it's a vector graphics game. Thank you. Simple manual, just basically a single page printout, but really the quality of the manual is quite good as well. Whoa! Alright. Let's see, and the next one then is the Death Race one. Let's go ahead and peel the cover off of that.
Freak out in the background.
You like that? I like that too. Yeah.
I love the guy with the exclamation point on his head.
Yeah, as the two cars are about to hit him. Wow. See if I can get the cover off of this one.
Oh, can I see that?
I thought he had a quest.
Pass the manual down.
Don't pass anything by.
There's the Nox one. Yeah, don't pass anything by.
At least it wasn't this side.
Yeah, exactly.
Wow.
Yeah, well, yeah, and something really we read about in it, and he said on his website, and this is kind of interesting, a crossing thing, that Knox will work with no cross pinning or anything like that, the Atari driver controller.
Oh, really?
You got to shave it down a little bit because it's a little
won't
long.
Fit. They it make won't you, or you can make an adapter.
But otherwise, but you don't have to change the pins. In any way. That's so they really just plug it right in and you can use it.
Okay, so let's take a look at the Death Race.
Does
one.
That turn it into a two player game?
Well, it's actually a four player game. And
wow, these
you can
two.
Use basically with two joysticks you can use the buttons and controller so if you have two controllers and one person gets two buttons, one person gets the other buttons.
Okay, I gotta tell you, the Knox cover is not really as cool.
This
Death Chase cover is freaking awesome.
I can't tell you. I like the last cover. Let me see this one.
Oh, no, wait till you see the overlay. So,
that's beautiful. You gotta get a snapshot of that one.
Yeah, these are really, that's really, really nice. Good. So I'm gonna bring this up a close. So this is the Death Chase one. I gotta say, wow, nice.
Top camera, man.
Sorry about that. And there is the Knox one. The Knox one's fairly simple. I mean, it's a basically a multi-shade orange with some white printing. But this
Death it's got Chase a delightful start-finish line.
The Death Chase one is absolutely gorgeous. That really is a cool-looking...
Nah, he forgot.
Up camera.
But actually, you know what's interesting about that one?
Because
there's not
camera.
A lot of difference in the center of the screen. You could leave it on for probably quite a few games.
Yeah, you probably could. But again, the artwork on that is freaking awesome. All right, so we're going to put this one on because I actually want to see Death Chase on here. So, the deal was really good. He had a 3-for-1 deal, basically. You bought these two, and for a little bit extra, he threw in one of his older games. Which is does not come with an overlay. It is Galaxy Wars.
Is that like a remake of Space War?
Yeah, it is.
Baller.
So it's two player?
Wait, is that the one with like
this
go
is
around
a two
the outside? Like
yeah,
the middle?
So, one of the very very first video games. Period.
Yeah. So this is kind of a no overlay for this one, but it's kind of a cool little throw me in. So I picked up the whole package.
Does it have different ships?
Yeah, I think it does.
That would Space Wars.
All right, so we're gonna try them all out. So the first thing I want to do is try out this new cartridge. The cartridge again. He's looks like he's
so
using.
It sounds like Space Wars.
Space War.
Yeah.
Well, no, it's.
Is he using old new stock? No, he looks.
It's more like you have a missile that you launch and you can control it. It's a guided missile.
Oh, okay.
And okay,
you gotta
so
walk it through like basically impenetrable things to hit the bad guys. And
all right, well that's not the same.
I'm thinking about the thing on the PDP one.
Right, it looks like he's using old new stock of the cartridges because it actually has the GCE logo on the cartridge stock. So here's the stock again. Really nice artwork on the front of the cartridge. He did a really nice job on these. As well.
Hey, they can't hear you.
Okay, well, he did a really nice job on these as well.
Looks better than the original ones, honestly.
Yeah, I've got to say, it's a really cool looking cartridge, actually.
Nice. 30 years will do that.
All right, so let's see. I'm just going to fire it up without the cartridge in to make sure that we're all powered
plastic.
Up and ready to go here.
That one takes like an hour to power up, just so you know.
All right, well, good to know. Let's see if I can find the knob here.
I think you mentioned that before we started recording, right?
I did. But okay. He won't remember that.
I won't.
No. Just like fast forward to this.
Okay, I have nothing. I have nothing.
Is the power strip on?
That's I was just checking to make sure we're plugged in.
Is it turned on?
Of course
on.
It's on. What are you talking about? He just doesn't know what he's doing.
There it is. Okay. All right, so it's powered up.
Because it took a while for the buzz to start.
All right, so I'm going to put the cartridge in.
Oh, I thought there was a handle.
With it turned on. Oh, wait. No,
I'm not that stupid. Well, almost, but not quite. All right, so let's power that up.
Is it on?
Yeah.
Don't you hear the...
You can hear the buzz right in the background. We're next to the mic. I'm sure they're hearing the buzz.
Well,
those
right.
are the cicada.
See the nice green...
Here we go. Knox and Death Chase.
There we go.
By Jay... Oh, Knox. Select game. All right. And... Oh, nice. They put the cross on it. Yep. All right.
Oh, my.
Oh.
Oh.
That's so cool.
Wow. That is really nice.
Oh, now I'm only seeing his back.
Move over.
He moved.
All right, one player.
I wanna play.
Barriers on. Start game. Here we go. Where am I here? Oh, there I am.
We'll do a.
Oh yeah, this is Death Chase, all right.
We'll do a quick recording of it afterwards, and I'll superimpose it.
Yeah, because wow, you hit them as you hit people, the little cross pops up.
You can crush the gravestones too by running into
them. Yeah, and knock them off the screen because they get in your way, so you have to kind of knock them up.
The original game, was it just timed? I don't.
Yeah, it was just timed. Like, how many is really good.
How many people
good.
Could you run over and?
Well, wow. and you get a sense that it really is. Now well, I can it really see why is a two-player.
Yeah, really, it would be better as a two-player game.
Because it's I'm going to outscore you.
Right.
You know, it's direct competition.
It looks like it's timing. It is counting down though, so I'm going to assume it's a timed game.
Again, without this, Carmageddon would.
So when were these games released officially, like by this guy?
This year, three weeks ago.
These are fresh off.
Yeah, these are fresh out. So this is a game, a 2016 game for a system that hasn't been produced since 84. So yeah, this pretty well qualifies as a really new game. And here's the thing, it's not just some hacky homebrew. This is a pretty good professional quality. He went through the work of making overlays for these games. 30. Again, it's not just a board with a ROM stuck on it. He made a full cartridge for it. Manuals, box, everything. It's really like a brand new game. Again, and gotta say, spectacular looking. Let's take a quick look at
from
Nox.
From someone who played the original.
Yeah, from somebody who played the original. Let's take a look at Nox once. You got the Nox overlay down there? Yeah, okay.
Did he
so
did
they
he
burn all
DLC?
The death races like they did books back then?
Yeah. Yeah. Right in the arcade, too. That's the worst part about it.
Alright, so let's try Nox and see how Nox.
Then the really sweet machines went up too.
I heard your hilarious comment, Matt. I don't know if anyone else is going to recognize it, but I thought it was great.
Thank you, Ben.
The DLC, we all heard it.
No one acknowledged it.
Yeah, well, we didn't need to acknowledge it. Everybody else heard it.
That was a good joke, old fart.
It was? I didn't say it wasn't a good joke. We just didn't need to acknowledge it. Everybody heard it. Alright, select game, Nox. I gotta say, his title screens are really good. So he's...
Yeah, I could...
Oh, Granny Mode.
Yeah, you should do Granny
Mode. That sounds like me.
I am playing Granny Mode.
I'm Granny Mode right now.
So it's basically just a straight-out race game.
Also, like, it looks like Sprint or something.
It's Sprint. It is. Yeah. It's a Sprint.
There's the oil.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. I thought that was a car first, and I finally
saw the oil slick works nicely.
Oh, it's great.
Yeah, I would definitely say you're going to want to play this with the...
Because Granny's got an oil slick that you can run over.
With a driving... with a... this would be much better with a wheel, because, dang, it's really hard to do
and
with that.
And a competent player.
Well, that too. Somebody who hasn't been drinking for a few hours already,
I
okay?
Think it's just straight use.
But again, nice graphics. The overlay works well with the game. Decent. All right, let's try the one last game that we got with this package.
Just yank it out.
Yeah, just yank that out for me.
Oh,
just wait. Is that how we destroy your stupid video game?
Yeah, take those.
Jerk. I did it.
All right. The other manual is. All right, go ahead and pop that one in there.
I'm on a video game.
The other manual
podcast,
already back in.
I hate video games, actually.
Stupid. All right, we're in.
Stupid
okay,
game.
So this is the Space Galaxy Wars and Space Launcher.
Space Launcher is the one I think I was playing. I'm not sure on the other one.
The Galaxy War one.
Yeah.
Okay, well, we'll try the Galaxy War one.
These are the new Nintendo NX cartridges.
Galaxy War. Right. Again, the guy does nice work for vector graphics, too. Press 4 to start. Let's try Galaxy Wars, one player.
So how long ago was Galaxy Wars made a press play? That was a few years old? Or?
I think, yeah, I want to say he did this one a couple of years ago. I think he's got a release date on it somewhere here. Let's see.
Pull the cartridge up. Take a look.
Yeah.
Since 1983. What the hell?
And the Vectrex is on fire.
Right.
How did that happen?
No, you're on here.
Not. Yeah, see, it's like a guided missile, so go up there and
right.
kill one of those. But these guys here, I think, are they'll kill you. So you want to like,
no,
and then you want to hit the UFOs with your rocket.
Pure heroin.
There you go. See, like that.
Okay, so it's that's an interesting concept for a game. I kind of like it.
Now there's like those things going across though. If you hit those,
right. Well, also
they're just
they're like that. They're blockers.
They block.
Yeah. Again, decent game.
Excuse me.
Nice vector graphics.
Cthulhu lives.
Actually, reminded me a little bit of. And I always screw this up, the Atari game. I think I got it. No, Megalomania.
Yes.
It kind of reminded me of that.
Yeah, not as good as Spider Fighter, but that's, you know, a big
bone of contention, yeah, or just a big bone?
Just a big bone.
Boner.
But the way the ships are going across the top reminded me of one level of that game.
Yeah. So we're going to sit here and quietly play a game.
Yeah. Hey, I've only got one more to go! One more to go! Alright. Okay, so... So,
I could, but I can't really see the screen.
No, so. I was talking to him.
So yeah. the
pretty much Tom's fault.
The cool thing about this again is
Tom.
This is the kind of quality that we're coming out for now. Yeah, for retro games. I mean,
hey Tom, Mike too, maybe, you know.
This is why we can't have a nice podcast.
This is why we cannot have a nice podcast. So, you know, here's the thing we're talking about. We're talking about what's coming out for old systems, like your old NES or your old Vectrex or your old Atari 2600. There's really good production quality games coming out. And we're not talking just a couple. There's tons of this stuff available. Pretty easy to find and some pretty good quality games to boot. So we're going to continue to talk about that. But I got to say... Nox, Death Chase, and
Galaxy Wars
is a really good package. We will have a link to this guy's website on our website. The name of the, I was looking for the name of the company. It's Entertaining Old Ideas.
I can't really make fun of it.
So, all right. Okay, so
swing that mic, buddy.
I'll swing the mic back now. Swing the mic back.
Thank you.
Sweet chariot.
Swings to the left. Swings to the left.
I know.
All right.
I had a feeling.
And I'll stop that buzzing from that thing.
I thought that was just my ears.
No. I know.
It sounds so quiet in here now.
I know, right? Yeah. It's like,
could you guys
like
stop screaming now, please?
Yeah. Right?
What?
We don't need to talk about the buzz of the Vectrex.
All right, how about it, Lear?
I have one here I can show. But as I was talking, I started thinking about ones that we've seen at the Midwest Game Classic. But we can, I'll let other people maybe get to those. And if they don't, then maybe come back. But for now, I'll talk about this year one. This is the Fix-It Felix.
They can't hear you, Larry.
Can't hear you, Larry.
Whoop!
Mary!
Fix-It! No, I'm just going to go back. I was coming back quick enough. I was just getting the visual in. So, Fix-It Felix was basically... It's a new game. Bought it, 2 years ago at the Midwest Gaming Classic, and it was, you know, it's obviously, you know, someone produced it, related to the movie, but it's kind of interesting. It's for the Genesis system, and it was put out as if it had been put out back then, because the movie would have kind of worked with that machine, you know. It would have been the right
timeline
for, you know, this to have come out on that system. Maybe a little bit, like, you know, because you figure Donkey Kong came out on the NES, and, you know, they were kind of close to Genesis.
Okay.
It just probably would have come out.
Around that same era.
Yeah, would have came out. So it's like a dead system producing something that acts like it was, but never was.
Yeah,
you know.
I mean, the
packaging is exactly what it, you know, feels like a game that was bought at the time. You know.
Yeah, they did a really good job on this particular production. Again, if you look at the not just the packaging, but the cartridge itself, looks like you said, it's a standard Genesis cartridge. Yeah. The artwork is very much from the time. They did a great job reproducing an old system game.
So yeah, it looks like. It didn't include an instruction manual.
What the fuck?
Yeah, that's jacked up.
Okay, that's a little jacked up. They could have put a manual.
I mean, it is like one button, and, you know, I mean, it's...
it's like a modern game.
Yeah, right, no manual. Right. So I got to ask, how much did they get you on that one?
50.
Right, and that's not...
Ooh, but I will say the sticker quality and the size of it seems like it's more than what we got back in the day.
No, that is exactly what you got back in the day.
No, this looks nicer than what I got back in the day.
No, they just got old on you is what happened, and you guys drew all
the
over
the size
them.
Probably still
your
different
names
because they probably
them.
No,
wait,
grew.
No.
The so got
way,
there is. That's not going to work.
In the cartridge.
Yeah, that's examples.
But it's possible that it could be higher quality.
Yeah, I'm saying this is higher quality, and I'm calling it, and guess who's not wearing readers right now?
And that was just weird. So wait, all first right. You grabbed it on cartridge, then you grabbed it on D box.
That one's in there.
Third right time now. A charm?
It has to be, because I can't have played every freaking game cartridge. In here.
See, I'm saying no, they're the same.
They're very close.
No, this is higher quality. I'm
no,
not
this
reader.
Is newer.
Ben, this is quality. Faded with time.
Thank you.
I hate all of you people.
Because you're wrong.
I hate all
things.
Of you people, and I'm also wrong.
So,
just in
they
case you were
they could have put the little hanging tab.
Okay,
know,
now that would have been a good
well,
touch, too.
Do they have the hanging tab, or they just buy
and an
a
instruction
lot of
manual, stuff. And then it would have been perfect. But
they
know.
Really did a good job.
Yeah, and the game is pretty fun. It plays pretty well. So,
I was
you know. It's, the only problem with it, I will put a bit of a warning on here.
Yeah, yeah, we did.
Seems to only work in 1.5. Genesis 1.5.
Yeah, you had that issue with that one.
Yeah,
it
doesn't work in the original. Right. The original one, it works.
The old Genesis.
Yeah, I don't know if they. The it has Genesis. Another name like Slim or whatever. I don't know.
Yeah, well,
you know?
Yeah, they had.
So, is that the one with the volume on it? Doesn't work on.
Correct. Yeah. Right. So the first yeah. one that looks kind of like a CD player on the top of it.
Yeah.
Yeah. It does not work with that.
This one's small. I mean, it's you know just
yeah.
Because
there's the two and the three or something. Like that.
Right. There's so, the two. And, yeah. And
it's I probably the two then. I guess.
The two. It works on the two.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Probably so, if you yeah. were to find it, you know, you're gonna want to have the two to play it.
The out. Newer Genesis.
Yeah.
Home Genesis.
That's probably what they tested out. They
yeah,
probably never went back and tested it.
You
know,
well, you know, they're like, yeah, that's always a question of having them around.
So.
All right,
Benjamin.
I'm here for the free beer, and that's it.
That's my boy.
For the beer.
Woo! Come on, Matt.
I'm here for the second topic.
All right.
Well, that's a good topic.
Beer!
That is a good topic.
Exactly.
Good topic to be
we'll get to
for.
That too.
All right, so I'm going to throw out something a little bit earlier. I'm going to go with Neil Mr. Dew. Just because I powered up the Neo Geo first today and thought, hey, I was originally going to do a Vectrex game, but then I thought everybody's doing a Vectrex game, so I might as well do. Neo Mr. Dew was a remake of the original Mr. Dew, and it was done during the 16-bit era, so that makes it a really old remake. So you could remake the remake now, which would be awesome. But anyway, Mr. Dew was a lot like Dig Dug. If you've ever played that, you basically are digging around in an underground field and try to kill your enemies and collect things. The Neo Geo version is freaking beautiful, though. It is. I would say don't even bother playing the original version of Mr. Dew when Neo Mr. Dew is around. It was just so much better of a game. It controlled better, it looked better, it was just great. It's how you remembered Mr. Dew. You know how you play a
yeah,
game?
Yeah.
And
Golden
it's like
I had that for
nothing
me.
Like you know, it's nothing like you remembered. It's like, oh, this is janky. Well, Mr. Dew is like that, but if you play Mr. you know, Mr. Neo
Mr. Dew, Mr.
Yeah.
No, but that
play,
was by
Neo
Tatio,
Mr.
Right?
Dew.
Who released that one? Do you know?
SNK released it. I mean, they must have bought the rights.
Okay, so they just bought the rights and did that.
I would guess.
Sync.
But yeah, it was just great. A great game.
Kitchen
looks
sink.
Great, plays great, fun. Tom, are you
wow, fun. No, actually, I want to go back and talk. I want to discuss a little bit about this. So, you know, we set a few criteria for this before. So, what makes something a new game for a retro system? Some retro systems, like let's go with the Intellivision, not the Intellivision, the ColecoVision had a home computer element to it called the Atom. So, you know, there were a lot of homebrew games out there, even during its lifetime, where people would write games or type in games out of basic books and then send them out on tape or whatever. I don't consider those to be it. I think, really, to be a game like that, you have to be a reproduction of what the original games were like, whether it's a cartridge...
So what about just sending out, for the Vectrex, for example, there's a lot of games where just the code was
right.
made available.
I don't count that.
Yeah.
I really
Until
don't.
Until you take the step of actually putting it on a board.
Exactly.
And, you know, okay.
Even if you just put it on a board, I think at that point makes it a re-release. Because, yes, in the Vectrex market, you're not allowed to really upcharge too much on it because part of the whole deal of the licensing on this is that you aren't allowed to make a lot of money on it. They don't want people doing that. That's why you get a lot of people.
Yeah, because I'm going to get fat rich off making games for the Vectrex.
Some of those games, there's one guy who makes games that are just worth unbelievable amounts of money. Yes, don't kid yourself. You could probably. The guy who does Warrior.
he sells them for unbelievable prices.
You know, that was a thing in Vetrex for a while, too.
Yeah.
That they were unbelievably priced. But right. now they're pretty good. I mean, you can get most of them.
Most of them. Prices, most yeah. of them. So you really have to go the step of actually creating a cartridge or making it so it's an actual release for the system. If it's on DVD, burn it to a, you know, a production DVD, something along those lines. Not just something you're, you know, you're turning out in your bedroom at night. Well, I shouldn't say that because we know a few people who actually do turn them out. Pack Rat Games probably turns them out in his bedroom at night. Just
turning
right
out
there.
On my bedroom.
I bet,
but,
no, I to bet be he's fair, got a workbench though, in his bedroom.
But, don't but, we all? I mean, he's turning out this.
He turns
you know,
out
the box.
He turns out professional quality well, it, things.
It's funny.
But I'm still betting he's got a workbench in his bedroom.
I
would bet money
that
on it.
Could be. But you know, it's funny you should mention him because he was the one that I was going to mention on Justin's behalf.
Oh.
Yeah.
Why is that?
We're
missing somebody tonight. We're missing Justin.
Yeah, because,
Justin, why is Justin not here tonight, Larry?
Because there's a 2600 game that was released called Explosive Diarrhea.
Justin, are you playing Explosive Diarrhea this evening?
He got the only
copy. On the Atari 2600?
I think he's just playing it on the toilet.
Well, I would too.
He's just let it all go and peeing out his butthole.
Let it go.
Let it go.
This is a legit game for the 2600, available like in a box and stuff.
Yeah, no, actually, I saw it. And it's labeled, and the boxing looks good on it. They did a really nice job.
So it really, really qualifies. Now, to be clarified on what it actually is, it's basically a family of rednecks at a reunion. Nice, huh?
Nice backstory. Nice backstory.
Yeah.
Nice
and unfortunately, it's next to a minefield. And the outhouse is on the other side of the minefield.
Wow!
So how many rednecks can you guide to the restroom?
Wow, okay. That is actually a clever idea for a game. I'm good with that.
So, otherwise, they explode.
Right. So, these games have been around for a while. So, I was going to show it tonight, and unfortunately, the system's not behaving well. We have, I've got to say, I think probably the first example of a new game for a retro system. It actually goes back to like 1983. This was long after the Bally Astrocated kind of died out as a system. It was a very expensive system. It only survived to like 79 or 80. It's
freaking beautiful, though.
Beautiful system, had some of the best graphics of its time, had a lot of things that most systems don't have. But
frame buffer.
What's that?
A frame buffer.
Frame buffer, yeah. It had RAM, a frame buffer, things like that. Long before anybody else did. And one of the first games to have it had cartridges, which was, again, also...
One of the first, yeah.
One of the first.
It was in the first 10.
Generation five. Of that. So they had a game for it called Treasure Cove, which came out in 1983. And I'm going to bet it had to be some ex-programmer or something like that from the company who probably released it. It really did quite well as far as a third-party cartridge. It was made out of, where was it made out of? San Jose, California. So, basically came out in one of the, like, newsletters, one of the local group newsletters. They did a pretty good job. Again, production quality, you know, it had a nice box and it had a nice manual that went along with it. So, 83, they were already starting to make new games for... In this case, retro systems. I know it wasn't terribly retro at the point, but the 2600 was, you know, all the rage at the time. You know, you're by this time your Astrocade was probably already collecting dust. It would be like somebody making a new game for the Magnavox, for the Odyssey. So, nice to see somebody actually do stuff like that. So, I would say this is probably one of the first examples of a new game for a retro system. If you want to consider, you know, 5 years retro.
That's pretty.
Well, you know. How you know, was it actively being sold and stuff? Otherwise,
no,
it's probably
exactly.
a dead
it was
system.
A dead system at that point. By 83, this was a dead system. I mean, usable still, and honestly, graphically better than the 2600.
Easily.
So you could still do better games on it. But a thoroughly dead system from that standpoint. I mean, you had people doing basic programming stuff for it because there was actually a basic out for this. You could hook cassette tape to it, the whole nine yards. It had a few attachments you could pop onto it to make it a pseudo computer. Its keyboard was hilarious. So it's got this little numeric keypad, so you'd enter, you know, 07.
Jesus, the thing ran a Z.
You know, yeah. This it again. Yeah, I mean, it had a lot of power. Oh, so I'd say that's probably one of the first examples. All right, how about you, Travis?
I was kind of interesting. Again, a lot of the stuff we're talking about is, I mean, obviously hobbyist stuff. I mean, you're not doing it because you're doing it to, like, sell game notes. You're doing it because it's something you really love. And I've seen a lot of people do some really creative stuff for old, and I'm going to use, like, commercially dead consoles. So the best example I can think of, and again, it's kind of halfway out. It exists, and it's being brought to shows, but it's not commercially available yet, but Super Russian Roulette that I was talking about earlier.
Oh, yes.
And again, it was a really creative idea that uses old hardware to kind of create a new experience. So for people who haven't heard, Super Russian Roulette was a Kickstarter done on a new NES game that came out. But the thing was, is it used the NES Zapper, so you could play Russian Roulette on it. You played against this cowboy, and he calls you names, and you can play up to, five other people or whatever. But you can either, you basically push a button on the controller to spin the chamber of the gun, and you can put it up to your head and click it, and it will either shoot or not shoot. You can also point it at the screen if you think the bullet's in it. You can try to shoot the cowboy, or you can try to shoot his teddy bear. And if it shoots him, it'll shoot him, but otherwise he'll pull out a gun and shoot at you. But it's a really creative, it's got a really, really great promo video. And the board and the game already exist. He successfully funded. It's just being produced as like a mass thing now. So that's going to start shipping next year, which will be pretty cool. But it's like, it's interesting to see people take that kind of old tech and do new things with it.
Yeah, and again, if you haven't seen the promo video for it, watch the promo video for it. It's really freaking hilarious. It was that, I guarantee you, probably sold more copies of it than anything. The promo video is brilliant.
The overly concerned parents are going to really...
Well, again, it's not something that's going to be mass... That's the thing, is like, it's not something that's going to be mass-produced, and, like, you really have to know about it to know it exists. And, like,
Congress will find it.
Yeah, right.
If two people are playing it, Congress will find it and say it's a widespread problem. They're all killing themselves because of it at some point.
But again, it's like, you see these people doing it because they love doing it. It's not because it's like, all right, I see money to be made in it. Like, that's why a lot of these are making things for dead consoles. It's just because it's technology that you think is interesting. Right?
Yeah,
I think most are hoping just to break even a little bit on their cost.
It's a labor of love, telling you to do this.
Oh, tie back to last episode, yeah. Nice. No, it really, you know, you're right, though. That's it. You don't do this because you're going to get rich doing it. You do this because it's cool to do. You just want to, you know, you loved the system. You want to...
The only other example I can think of is, like, when they have, like, two generations of consoles out. Like, when the Xbox 360 was, like, really, really on its way out, they're still making, like, ports for it. And, like, is that technically a dead console? Or is it just, like, on life support?
I just did the wrong topic.
Beep.
Yes, you did.
The wrong damn topic.
Yes,
did anybody want to say to me that I did the wrong damn topic?
You know, I was going to let it go.
I trusted you.
Feeling well,
I trusted
but,
you.
You did the remake.
I did the wrong damn topic.
Yeah,
I did
the remake. He did the wrong topic.
I don't worry. I'll just do the wrong topic.
Because he did remakes. Which is the next topic.
I never listened to him during the show. So.
Rob's on the drugs.
Yeah, he's. I figured I'd let it go.
Sorry.
All right, you could have. Okay, well,
Rob's on the drugs.
I'm not feeling very well.
All right. Yeah, he really is on the drugs.
Yeah.
You know, there's another one. Maybe you guys can help me out with the name. There was a next to our room at MGC. There was a NES game that was
now you make eye contact.
One of these dead system ones. It was like a Battle Tactics or something like that. It was Battle Warrior or something like that. It was basically a tactical game for the NES.
I do not remember it.
Yeah, I thought that would go there.
All right,
I think Larry's making up games. Again.
I agree.
No, they were next to our room.
Yeah, oh sure. Come on!
All right,
it was really great.
Ryan,
let's go with Ryan.
Yes, well, then you pulled the beer tap.
Someone had bought one and left it in our room for like the whole weekend.
Oh, for God's sake, let Ryan talk. Jesus Christ, people!
All right.
Hey, actually, can we talk for a second?
Okay.
No,
cannot fucking talk.
Well, mine will be short because I misread the topic.
I did too, so don't worry about it.
I guess both of mine fit into the next segment.
So we'll do one now and then
do one. The good news is you're not the only one who did it, so.
Problem is, it was a game that was released actually kind of, it was sort of a remake of a Commodore 64 game on the 3DO. Originally it was called Firepower, and then got re-released as Return Fire. on 3DO, which then made it to like PC and PlayStation later, but that was pretty much a top-down capture the flag game with a helicopter, tank, missile launcher kind of vehicle, and
Jeep. But that was a new game for the 3DO.
Correct.
Really, it was it may have been based on the one for the C64.
Yeah.
Was this after the 3DO was dead?
No, that's the problem. Okay. I was thinking in my head, dead system, and I'm thinking just systems that are not necessarily gone, but something.
What was the name of the 64 version?
Firepower.
Which was a great game. Yeah, yeah. I love the serial link on that game. That was the best part of Firepower.
Yeah, that was one of the early, like, two-player.
Yep. Kind of, two computers locked together. You could drive out on each other's screens, and it was really cool. So.
It's not really a remake on a dead console because it came out when it was.
The 3DO was still alive.
Yeah, but it's funny because I played that on the PC.
Yeah,
it's open. I said, I played this damn game before. And I couldn't figure out where. Yeah, I couldn't figure out where it was. It was on the Commodore 64 because, you know, I had a big disc of Commodore 64 games. Not that game. Well, I played that game before.
No, they're just trying to decide who goes first.
We take turns.
All right, we're going on to the next topic. All right,
next topic.
Oh, God. Well, this is the one we're submitting to the Webbies, guys. Gotta tell you, this is it this year. This is our year. This is going to be the one.
Best worst podcast.
That's right.
That's double plus ungood, right?
Okay.
Yeah.
All right, so next topic.
All right, let's talk about what I just talked about and Ryan just talked about. You guys need to catch up to us.
All right, we'll catch up to you guys.
Talk about remakes of games.
Right. So old games that were released onto new systems. Yes? So, to define that again, that's a commercially successful game that may have been out on the CC.
Doesn't have to be commercially successful.
That is a definition that we don't need to go with.
All right.
So, but definitely a remake
of an old game that they've moved on to a new platform. A completely different platform. All right, good. Ben, you open it up.
Spy Hunter.
Ooh, all right.
There's the original arcade version, the one I played. I'm not sure if that's the original.
Okay, now, but before you get into that, that was like on every freaking platform ever.
Yeah, but when it was on PS2, it was entirely different.
Oh.
They remastered it so that it was this. You were still
top down.
It wasn't a top down. It was the three quarters view, like Cruising USA kind of style. But it was, you're on a set track, basically, but you get to move around. And it was, I thought, it ported over where it updated the graphics. And there's some other add-ons, too. I think there was you got a hover car at some point, and maybe a motorcycle, too.
You did in the original. You got the boat, and then
the motorcycle wasn't there, though.
Yeah. Oh, all right.
That was the first game that popped in my head of, like, no, that was... I played the first, and I thought it was a super solid game. And then when I saw it on PS2, it was,
oh yeah,
hey, I'll check this out. And it was,
swear to God,
real good.
I just played that game for the first time like 2 weeks ago. I picked it up in a lot of PS2 games. I was like, huh,
yeah,
damn, this is good.
No, I missed that one completely.
I thought it reviewed terribly. It did not review terribly. It reviewed very well. It was in the 9s and 10s.
Yeah,
it was in the 9s and 10s a lot.
Yeah, it was a solid game in and of itself, but it was a remake.
Yeah, it was.
You know, it's a nice looking remake. Holy crap.
Yeah. No,
wow.
Yeah.
I missed that one completely. I didn't see that one when it came out.
Excuse you. Were you wearing your readers?
No, probably not. How old are you now, Ben?
Not 30.
If we had subtitles on this podcast, that would say in parentheses guffawing.
But hurling towards 30,
Matt, how about
you? Bullet in a china shop.
So
gently.
One of the things that Squeenix did a couple of years ago was they re-released some of their I believe Super Nintendo Final Fantasy games for, I don't remember, was it Game Boy Advance, I think it was Game Boy Advance. And they came out with all remastered graphics. So instead of the normal Nintendo graphics you'd come to expect from a Super Nintendo, they were released with, like, reasonably three-dimensional sprites.
Sprites?
Sprites. Just the sprites of sprites. And they were really quite good. They didn't really change the mechanics very much at all or the story at all, but they updated the graphics to go with the times for the mobile platform they were releasing on. And then a couple of years ago, more recent than that, they took those Game Boy remakes and ported them over to mobile systems, so you can get them on iOS and Android now. And those are cool little remakes. They're a good update for games that came out, you know, 20, 25 years ago at this point, for a new generation. And it was really cool to see those come out. I have one or two of them myself, but you know, my attention is such a fickle thing. So,
blue car.
You know, understand. I moved on. But they were good. They were good. I enjoyed them very much.
Okay, so Vigi Gamer came on and he said it's called Armed for Battle, the game that Larry was talking about. And I'm like so fucking pissed that he's vindicated now.
So really good.
Yeah. I still think he's talking
bastard. About bastard. Yeah, he's talking about Tapper. Yeah. Fuck.
Did you see the remake they made for the Neo Geo?
All right, how about you, Larry?
Man, why isn't there a Tapper?
Oh, no.
There was. Holy shit.
Out.
Wait, touchdown. I'm throwing it out there. Hell yes. There was Tapper World Tour. It was made for the iPad, and it was freaking
really?
Excellent. Whoa. Yes.
Oh, Larry, you missed out. It. You missed it.
Thank you very much.
Now you can't World talk about Tapper. Oh, it's for the iPad.
Yes.
Which means most people missed it.
No, most people play. I hate to say it, it outnumbers Android.
I know.
Well, wait, that's not true.
Do you understand anymore?
It outsold it if you're going to buy something.
Right.
So, yeah, if it came out on Android, it was probably pirated. Hey, I'm an Android guy.
I mean, let's not mince words. Android users steal.
I wonder if they made it on there.
It's not stealing if you leave the original thing there and make a copy.
Hold on. I'll find out.
Traditional sense of stealing.
Wait, did they steal the same name from Rampage? Did they do Rampage World Tour?
That's what it did kind of sound like. It
and I enjoyed that game.
Oh, yeah.
I had a lot of fun with that.
I hope I didn't steal from her and destroy City at the same time.
Yeah. Okay, guys, so Tapper World Tour was released on Android, so pirate away!
Yarr! Pirates on Android anymore.
But how do you get the beer tapper to play it for real?
Really?
It's very determined.
It's just like 99 cents.
Yeah,
no.
I'm sure that's...
Right, and people don't like to pay a dollar for something that will give them hours of
energy. Yeah, I was just going to say, wow. Ooh, Pirates on Android.
Oh, let's
anymore.
Not get started. All right. We should do an episode now.
We've done an episode on that. We
called
like
the Stop Being a Cheap Bastard episode.
And, yeah. Exactly. All right.
Pay for your
Who's next? Episode.
You know, I mean, kind of tagging on to... Go ahead.
No, you keep going.
We're going for another two freaking hours.
He'll
spin forever.
I just, tagging on a little bit into what Matt was talking about as far as reskinning of not really changing the mechanics, not really doing much as far as the remake on that. I was really excited on the Wii when Tecmo Bowl came out. And with updated graphics and stuff. And then, of course, it was a game I loved when it first came out. So it was a lot of fun to go back and play that. And they did a really kind of cool thing, and they've done it in some of the other reskinning games, where the underneath game is just there. And you can hit a button and go to the original graphics.
Right, which I like that idea.
And then you can flip back to the... Which is fun, like, the first time you do it, and then you never go back. Because it's like, no, this is so much better.
They did that with the Halo re-releases that they did on 360 and then later on Xbox One.
Yeah.
So.
Ugh.
It's amazing. Right.
Well,
how did
you port back?
You know, all the Monkey Islands, you know...
Well, I mean,
did
just
that
the look. Right. Like, wow,
yeah,
this was worse.
You could flip back to the original, which I thought, again, was a very clever idea on that. He was just saying Monkey Island did the same thing.
Right.
You could play it in the new enhanced graphics mode, but you could drop back to the original...
That's that version flavor.
You got beer all
no,
over
he got
the tip. Spooge. He got spooge all over the tip.
Quit. That's the only
Dude,
way
Dude, suck
clean.
It up. Suck it up.
The only way it gets clean.
All right.
So
Ryan,
go.
How about
all
you?
Right,
just wait. Was Ryan trying to talk right now?
Yeah. I think Larry still had
Kick him in the ball. Kick them both in the ball.
This
is why we can't have a nice podcast.
Mine would have been better if the remake would have been better reviewed. but I'm going to go back to 1980 or 90-something. Amiga had the Shadow of the Beast game
Ooh, yeah.
made by Psygnosis. They always had the greatest intros and really cool graphics. Like, the first disc was always, like, the intro, and be like, cool, yeah. cool.
I remember that, yeah.
Take out the disc, and then you finally put the other disc in. That was, like, the game on the second disc. So, like, the first disc was really, I don't think, necessary. Maybe it was. Who knows?
Oh, but, come on. To watch those cool intros, it was necessary.
Yeah. The games were only, like, three levels, but they were so freaking hard.
So, Shadow of the Beast was, like, what, a side-scrolling run around, and you're, like, punching things to knock them out, or it was a lot of timing to go between.
Are you running,
like,
things or jumping?
Out. Yeah. Both. Yeah, it was kind of like...
Yeah, you gotta time that shit out.
Yeah, like, it was a very time-intensive game. And the enemies and the creatures were really well-designed. I thought the graphics were really good. Even though, when you watched it, a lot of them were like... I don't think they even moved. It was almost like a big sprite that just kind of like moved on the screen, bounced around, and you either punch it and it would just drop through the floor or not. But I remember having multi-layered, like, backgrounds.
Yeah, the parallax scrolling.
Parallax.
Yeah. I read the manual.
So, parallax scrolling.
RTFM.
So, here comes 2016, and PlayStation 4 had just released Shadow of the Beast. Thinking it was going to be really cool, I'm watching the videos of that same kind of current generation parallax scrolling. The reviews are kind of like, eh. So, I have not bought the game. I'm going to wait for either it to just show up on PlayStation Plus or be like one of their PlayStation sale games
Plus.
Where it'll be like $5 or something like that.
Sorry?
I do want to see it, though. I got to say.
They added more to the story. I think they even got the original designer of the game to kind of like assist with the new programmers who like originally really loved the game that were like remaking it. And then the artist, like some of the art style that was in like the Psygnosis games, that guy, they took some of the creatures I don't think were in the game and kind of like incorporated them into the new game. So I thought that was really cool. I just hope the game was better.
Yeah.
Reviewed.
There's a remake of Alien Breed that's really good. They made three of them, in fact. They made three sequels to it.
So that was, not Bit Brothers. Who was that again?
That was Team 17.
Team 17, yeah. Thank you, yeah.
That was said as well.
Yeah. Wow, Team 17 made a different game other than Worms? No, I thought all they
Team
made was Worms.
Team 17 made a lot of great games, actually.
Okay.
They made Worms
because Worms, Armageddon.
No, stop.
Worms. World Party.
I think there was just another Worms I saw pop up on my screen one day. Like,
Worms
just came
World
out.
Tour.
Worms 19,000th version.
there's a bunch of
Worms Battlefield 1.
Worms DDR.
Where's the horse?
All right, Travis, how about you?
Grand Theft Auto.
From there, we go with a pretty unique one. It is the Sega Ages Collection. And
heard so, there, done that.
Yeah.
I don't know what it is.
So basically, in the U.S., most of them can be found under the Sega Classics Collection on the PS2. But basically, after the launch of the PS2, Sega had an idea where they would start recreating a lot of their old classic titles, like Golden Axe, Space
Monaco
Harrier,
GP.
Yeah,
Fantasy
GP,
Zone,
yeah, Fantasy Star Online, or Fantasy Star, things like that. But the reason they started doing 3D remakes is because they thought people hated old school 2D graphics, so they thought, hey, if we make these with new 3D fangled graphics, people will run out and buy them in droves. So they got, like, a budget publisher to license these games to.
Oh, bubble.
And then, some of them surprisingly turned out okay. But they released them at, like,
surprisingly turned out
they're called
okay. Yeah.
I'll get to it in a moment. But, like, they released them for $22 a piece. So, like, it was, like, pretty good price for, like, what you were getting. And some of them, like, Golden Axe and Space Harrier and things were awesome. And some of them, like OutRun and things like that, were okay. And like there wasn't new gameplay, but it was just like new and fancy 3D graphics.
That made me think of all kinds of PlayStation 2 had a ton of remakes like that, where they took the character from a 2D arcade game and like, you know, it like Rygar and stuff like that, you know. And
took like the Ghouls and Ghosts universe and just totally like got it apart, made the Maximo series.
The Maximals. Yes, I was thinking of that one too. So bringing that up made me think of all those games. Like,
wasn't there Medieval Dead too?
There were a few.
Was Medieval Dead one Where you were like a skeleton guy?
No, that's just called a medieval. Or is it called medieval? I think
the medieval.
Yeah. With he's got a.
But that's not a remake. Yeah.
That's not a remake. That's an original.
But it still feels a lot like Ghosts and Goblins.
No, that's inspired by and being a re-release of a game are two different things.
All right.
So,
but as you're talking about it, it's like, oh yeah, I bet that's what their thinking was, is that people didn't want to do side scrollers. They did.
Yeah, everybody they want this nice 3D platformer, or like taking games like Bubsy and making it 3D, like those all like the mascot platformers and things, and they had varying rates of successes. But I really like the Sega Ages collection because they just like went ham with it. Like, there's so many different titles, and like again, they were varying quality. You had a budget publisher. It was in a very strict timeline to kind of churn these out. So some of them had, you know, these nice 3D updates. Some of them were just pretty much re-released games on the new console. So it's like, you know, it kind of got ripped off for some of them. But they did take the best ones and put them in the Sega Classics collection for the PS2. And I highly recommend you buy it because you can get it, like, under $10. Like, it's a really good bet. And it's got, like, the best ones on there. So highly recommend you check it out.
So it's like a steal?
It is a steal. So I have two copies of it because it's that good.
So slash like two appendixes.
Were these primarily arcade ports?
These would be a combination. Some of them were like old Master System games, like Phantasy Star.
But at the time, wasn't Sega still had a console?
Or no? Sega, well, again, this was like end of the Dreamcast.
So it was like...
But again, you're looking at the PlayStation 2 era. This is when they're starting to lose. It was $99.99 when the Dreamcast came out, and then it was 2000 when the PS2 came out.
Okay.
So then it looks like it's a couple years into there. So it's
possible they were starting to like maybe to develop these for Dreamcast, and we're like,
that's completely possible.
It'd be around
because they kind of the Dreamcast killed them for hardware. They were done after that.
Yeah.
It wasn't really the Dreamcast's fault. It was mostly the Saturn. We talked.
Yeah, Saturn was just such a big hole.
Yeah.
Right. There was no getting out of it. They could have survived the Dreamcast if the Saturn bombed.
The terrible pirating that killed it.
The Dreamcast might have been really
bless you.
Just done really well if it weren't for the Saturn.
Oh, that's true too.
I think you're right. I think it did lose a lot.
Because people were just like a taste in their mouth. The
yeah. It shook but a
the
lot
Dreamcast
of
was just a fucking amazing system.
$99.99. Never forget.
Never forget.
What am I not supposed to forget?
Yesterday.
Oh,
hey, Rick Perry. That's what Prince meant, like
Rick
party
Perry.
Like.
Don't do that. Nice try, though.
How do you read with these things?
You'll understand.
There's gonna be a morning. You're gonna wake up, Ben. You'll go. God, why is everything blurry?
3 years. Do you hear the ticking?
All right. It's guaranteed if you are still alive in your upper age, you will have reading glasses. There is no getting around it.
You will have reading glasses.
That was a threat. Yeah. All right. So I'm going to go with my all-time favorite as far as remake goes, Elite Dangerous. So again, the original Commodore 64 had a game called Elite, which was a space simulator. It was basically mainly a trading simulator. Yes, you could do battle and you could do some piracy, but really it really was a trading simulator. They did a really good job on that. You'd go to one planet, gather resources at a low price, take it to another planet that needed it for a high price.
Not enough to be a peacenik game.
Not enough to be a peacenik game because there was piracy in the battles and all that stuff that went on, but it was a really solid game. And then came Elite Dangerous, and they took it to the next level. And
that's decades later, too.
Yeah, well, yes, but... So they re-released it for the PC. They added all sorts of great elements to the game. One of the big ones that I do enjoy about it, they added Oculus support so you could actually play it in VR. The game plays well. They kept enough of the feel of the original game that you got the feel of the original game, you got the idea of the original game, yet it still had so many new elements in it.
I've not even played it yet, but I have watched people play it. Like, footage of it.
Yeah.
And you get drawn just watching the footage.
Yeah, I've watched people build full cockpits to play this game. It's that good.
I'm waiting for my...
What kind
ordered
of
bits? Another
cockpit. You're very familiar with those.
I ordered another force feedback controller so I can play it rightfully. I've got a lot of flight sticks, but currently,
yeah, you want
all my force feedback right. ones got I sold.
So. You want a good dual setup with a force feedback. It really does play extremely well when you have to do that. So, but they did just a brilliant job recreating, keeping the feel of the original game, and yet porting it over. It was a commercial success. They've done quite well with it. So, again, really a solid game. All right. I think we have now killed that topic.
Take us out, Rob.
Oh, I'll take you out.
Take me out.
Take you out. Take your children out. Take your children's children out.
Whoa, whoa, whoa. This is not Russian judicial okay. court.
Sorry about that.
So, if you ever see the Guys Games and Beer white van coming down your road... which you can find very easily because it's clearly marked free puppies and kittens and ice cream and candy.
Always and hot candy. Dickings.
Make sure to maybe check out our website at www.guysgamesandbeer.net first, or maybe check out our Facebook on www.facebook.com/guysgamesandbeer, or maybe even send us a tweet at guysgamesbeer with no and. Maybe you'll get a free game. Maybe you'll get a kitten. Maybe you'll get something else.
but before we go out, it's going to be about that time of year, too. So Guys Games and Beer is going to be doing a lot of shows in the not-too-distant future here out on the road. We've got at least three lined up so far coming up. The first one is going to be Game Hole Con, which is like November 6th or something. 4th, 5th, around that day. What's that?
11.99.
November 4th, 5th, and 6th.
Let's make a purchase.
And then we're going to have...
you can also buy hotdickings.com, hotdickings.info, or
hotdickings.biz. Yes!
For $16.
Oh, gentlemen, get those sites.
The business of giving you the business.
Travis is just looking for new domains.
And tell right, him we're the guys and beer set up.
Dominate.
But we will also be at Midwinter, which is coming up in January, up in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. So we're going to be
playing a live show
in Madison in November. We're going to be doing,
yeah, we're doing a live show.
A live show at Midwinter in January, and then it'll come out a big event, which is our favorite, and it'll be here before you know it. MGC in March. No, in April. Beginning of April.
Lousy smarch weather.
So yeah, it is going to be. We will be on the road. If you guys want to see us out live, come to any one of those shows, and you'll catch us, and possibly some other things thrown in there as well.
Like, please try to throw a beer at Rob's head.
Don't do that.
Don't do that.
But do try to give him a hot Rob. That said, you can definitely give me a beer, and I'll be very happy about it, especially right now.
All right. So,
wait, you just give me head.
Thanks for the
head. I'll be very happy about that, especially right now.
Alright, thank you very much for watching Guys, Games, and Beer. We really do appreciate it. If this is your first episode, for God's sake, go watch another one.
Drink the rest of your six pack.
We'll see
and then watch this episode again.
We'll see you guys next week.
Bye-bye!
Bye-bye!